1-800-567 today.
Well, while a typhoon slams into China's east coast, having to evacuate 1 million people in Taipei, Taiwan, Hurricane Felicia, whew, thank goodness, our friends in Hawaii probably will see some high winds, but the way it's looking right now, they shouldn't have the impact that was originally thought. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know how we always like to throw in the weather here. Most of you are probably burning up across the nation. It seems one extreme or the other. Unseasonably cool and rainy and wet and soggy, or completely like you're walking on the face of the sun. Now, if you live in Texas or Arizona or even parts of California in the desert, certainly you expect that. But there are places across the U.S. that are scorching, and they're really not used to it. Speaking of places, it's going to get a little bit warmer later in the week. New York temperatures are going to shoot up there in the next couple of days. But sad to say, and this is where we start here on ATN with me, Kate Delaney, as somebody who lived in New York, it's always exciting to see the people from all over the world and people all across the United States that come to New York to see the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, and all the cool things that New York has to offer, our biggest city, let's face it, right? And once our seat of liberty. So a small plane above the Hudson River and then a helicopter, a touring helicopter, slam into each other over the weekend. How does this happen? I think of the hundreds of times that I have looked into the sky from the Hudson at many different angles, from boats, from whatever, and I don't understand how this mid-air collision happened, and it was just that copter and a small plane. And there is this one strip of air. It's about 3/4 of a mile wide, and that's where this happened. And people are now shouting, this urban canyon, why is this not regulated? And that's exactly what I said to myself. Of all the places, why would this space not have any kind of regulation, especially when it's such a small area that we're talking about? It's always after the fact when something tragic happens, right? So, unfortunately, and I know this, I've seen it. I've seen people buzzing around the Statue of Liberty and over the GW Bridge. Sometimes you'll have 10, 15 helicopters or planes up in the air. So you think of these people that came from Italy who were just there to see what New York has to offer and unfortunately now dead. 9 people in all, and they're still looking for some bodies and parts too, by the way. They found part of the helicopter and they're pulling things out of the water. But planes and helicopters, and I guess people who haven't really been up in a small plane or a helicopter don't really realize this, but you know how in your car you have a blind spot? Well, that's exactly what happens in the situation in the air. And the thing is, pilots have to stay under 1,100 feet to avoid straying into jetways used by the commercial aircraft, right, that are buzzing all over the place with the 3 airports there, so they can't fly over Manhattan buildings, the tall buildings, or go into those restricted zones around the airport. So I don't understand. I guess those blind spots make it that difficult. And Saturday, that's what happened. Unfortunately, it could have been a blind spot. The plane came from the north, clipped the helicopter from behind, according to witnesses who saw this on the ground. And there was a warning from a pilot on the ground, but it was just way too late. So this is the worst collision they've had in 8 years. Maybe they're going to have to separate helicopters and planes and have a better system of doing this. Some kind of regulation, for goodness sake, did this really have to happen? Here's what Mayor Bloomberg said about the search, of course, because now it's not a rescue. It's a search to recover people and parts of the plane and parts of the copter. Here's what he had to say about that. And also, what about flight restrictions?
Well, the most important thing at this point is to make sure that our divers don't risk their lives, because this is not a rescue effort. This is a recovery effort. Both aircraft are under 30 feet of water. We haven't even found one of them yet. Visibility is only a couple feet. We do think we found the helicopter. We've recovered a couple of bodies. We'll continue to search until we get everybody out. But the bottom line is it's going to take time, and we want to take care. Well, the National Transportation Safety Board will do a complete investigation, figure out what happened, and see whether measures should be taken. That, in the end, will be up to the FAA. They're the ones that set these rules as to where you can fly. These are very heavily used corridors. Helicopters are very important to the city and used all the time. Tourists seem to love it, and for commerce. This is may have just been an accident, a total tragedy, or maybe, in fact, if we had different procedures, you could have prevented it. We've not had very many accidents in the area. The last one that was most noticeable was the plane putting down in the Hudson River, where everybody survived. In this case, we don't think it was survivable from virtually the instant the crash took place. And it's very tragic, as you point out.
All right, so here's the interesting thing. You have this airspace, it is crowded, and you have, like, Chuck Schumer wants tougher flight restrictions over the Hudson, right? And then you have city council members kind of saying that the tourist helicopter should be banned. But right away, Bloomberg says, well, you know, the tourist helicopters or tourism is important to New York City. We don't want to see that happen. So he's arguing that keeping the skies open to general aviation is necessary to keep the city's economy thriving, because this is a big chunk of it. A lot of people want to go up and they want to fly over the city, and that cutting off the flights isn't something that anybody really wants to do because of the commercial interests in the tour helicopters that take off from the west side of New York from that helipad there. And I'm wondering how many people listening to me, have you been to Hawaii or been to some other city? Because there are other places, there are other cities that you can go to in the United States where you can take those helicopter tours or get in a small commercial plane. I'm wondering how many people avoid doing that, don't feel comfortable doing that. And while these accidents are rare, it's always so bloody awful to hear the stories of somebody just visiting, just going to sightsee, and then they're dead, poof, like that, because somebody took their eye off the ball, whether it was a blind spot, not realizing what was around them, or, you know, whatever, when you have a tight space. And I can remember this, and I was doing sports. A Yankees pitcher, in fact, I was doing some New York stuff, a Yankees pitcher, Corey Lytle, and his flight instructor died when they smashed into an apartment tower. They were flying a sightseeing route around Manhattan, and apparently he had plenty of hours in the plane, or so they thought, and it was so awful when that happened. How does that happen? So here we go again with this over the Hudson. And unfortunately, two families as a result, and kids involved in this, two families suffer the losses. And I'm wondering how many of you have done any of those tour things. I have. I did helicopters a couple of different times. And I had to say, I'm pretty brave, but I had to say, sitting in the small helicopter, it kind of gave me pause. And in fact, the route that I took, they had an accident once a long time ago. I think they need to look at regulating, if nothing else, if they keep the helicopters in the air, because boy, we gotta make that money from the tourists, and they've got to regulate the airspace. Coming up on the flip side, the Afghanistan war, how long will it last? Will it be a repeat of Iraq? Why I don't think it's going to be, I'll tell you about that next on America Tonight.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact. Many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now, and you will receive a one-week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's order, CHEWS.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do
the thing. All right, so while we wrestle with airspace over New York and losing dollars for those helicopter tours that some think should be stopped because they're too bloody dangerous, to health care and all the town hall meetings and people protesting and Obama just sinking in approval ratings because people are not happy with the way healthcare reform is being handled. And really, that's going to be the whole buzz of August. We move from that to yet another expenditure in talking about will we save money with healthcare. And so far, the House bill to me doesn't look like it would save any cost, is at least out-of-pocket cost to any of us. So that would be completely need to be revamped, and they'd need bipartisan support to get a lot of people to jump up and down and get excited about it, because, frankly, there's too many holes in it. So we moved to that, to Afghanistan. And Senator Lindsey Graham said over the weekend and last week that we don't want the mistake of committing too few troops to Iraq at the start of the war. To Afghanistan at the start of this thing, like we did in Iraq. We saw what happened in Iraq, so we don't want Afghanistan to turn into that same thing. In fact, I like what he said, although it scares me because what is the end game? He said, don't do this thing on the cheap. So don't be shocked if more troops are requested by our commanders. Well, of course, there's been violence beyond belief in Afghanistan, especially with those roadside bombs. Again, that's seems to constantly be the weapon of choice. The Taliban is once again very elusive, hard to find, looking for people who will be jihadist for them. So it's always tricky, especially when you're dealing with the people of Afghanistan. Did you know that 90% of the people can't read or write in Afghanistan? I'm going to give you some numbers about Afghanistan's GDP, for example, $23 billion, $3 billion for opium. If you want to compare it to Iraq, Iraq with oil had $113 billion. So let's see. Crunch the numbers. Afghanistan's government makes $189 million in revenue and monies, right? So how can they support the $2 billion they need for the army and police force there? Because that's the whole thing. Okay, we're going to do the same thing we did in Iraq. They have to be able to have their own army, their own police force, which they have, but it has to be revamped so that they can shut down the Taliban. So far, we've spent $223 billion on Afghanistan. And next year, certainly we know Afghanistan is going to need at least $4 billion a year, because I've already said that, so you double it. And talk about their revenues and what where they're making the money and compare it to Iraq. And, whoo, a big difference there. And, in fact, in 2008, the Brookings Institute, right, they ranked the weakest countries in the developing worlds. Afghanistan was second to Somalia. So Afghanistan and Iraq, the comparisons, a little tough there. Big difference between the two. I told you the money difference, which you have to be concerned about, because how do they keep things going once the United States gets out? And speaking of the United States getting out, I mean, we've only just begun, as the song says, here in Afghanistan, to scratch the surface. There's going to be more troops, double the amount in the fall, and I think there's going to be a call for even more troops than you can imagine. And that's why Lindsey Graham is trying to prepare everyone for that, because he knows. He's been there a couple of times. He's been to Iraq, and he saw what happened in Iraq and what the central problem was. So General McChrystal, who's the guy on the ground, I think ultimately he's going to have to get even more boots on the ground there. I mean, ultimately, what is the end game? That's the biggest question. General James Jones, who is a guy who was a former general, retired general, and he was in Afghanistan, now a national security advisor, said this on Meet the Press.
The end game in Afghanistan is obviously to turn the responsibility for their security and economic prosperity and the governance over to Afghans as quickly as possible. We're doing that three ways. One is, in March, we announced a comprehensive strategy that wasn't only focused on troop strength and security, although there's a certain minimum there that's required, but also the cohesion of security, economic development, and good governance and rule of law from local mayors all the way up to Kabul. We've generally done pretty well over time on the security pillar, NATO, the United States, and 47 sovereign countries are on the ground in Afghanistan. The UN, the NATO, the European Union, the World Bank, all sorts of non-governmental organizations, all the instruments are there to turn this thing in the right direction. The question is, how do you get them to work more cohesively? And that's the new strategy. And if we can get that done, and we will know that fairly quickly, we've published a new set of metrics, or they're not published, but they're being developed in concert with the congressional guidance. We have an envoy and hard at work to frame this whole thing, new commanders, new ambassadors, and we think that it's going to change. You can't predict here where the tipping point is, just like we couldn't really predict it in Iraq, but it will, if it's done right and it's done cohesively, the tipping point will be much, much quicker, much sooner than that. We will know whether this strategy is working and by the end of the next year, and we'll be able to make some predictions, maybe some predictions at that time, but not before.
All right, I'll be curious to see what General McChrystal says, because if you remember, he's going to have one of those updates for all of us. They've got the national elections in a couple of weeks. August 20th, in fact, is the date. So it'll be after that, obviously. And what the United States is saying is, look, we are neutral on the election's outcome. So long as the vote is smooth, that's all we care about, that there's not a lot of violence, not a lot of problems or irregularities. That's all we want. And elections are obviously progress. And, let's see what happens there. So right now there are 62,000 U.S. troops and 39,000 allied forces in Afghanistan. Then you've got 175,000 Afghan soldiers and police. Now, remember, NATO countries are bagging this plan. They're going to withdraw their troops in the next couple of years, even with the U.S. ramping up presence there. So you got McChrystal. He's the guy on the ground. He's going to have to give the account of what the difficulties are of this war and how long it's going to stretch. And, you know, you have people trying to make predictions on the end game. Is it going to be a decade? Is it going to be 8 years? Is it going to be shorter than that? I think this one's going to be an eight-year war. And ultimately, is this going to be fruitful for the United States? Well, what would be fruitful for the United States? to stomp the crap out of the Taliban and assure that we're not going to have any problems with them. Is that a possibility? And have Afghanistan stand up taller and prouder and being able to knock these guys out and push them all the way out of their territory. You know, the top Taliban leader, Massoud, if you remember, over the weekend, or actually it was before that, it was probably Thursday or Friday, when the CIA thinks that they nailed him. I mean, this guy is the Pakistan-Afghanistan, big time, if you will, mob leader. And now there's a question of, did they really nail him? And of course, it has to be about DNA evidence to see if they knocked this guy. He's a bad guy. We're talking about robbing, stealing. If you remember, you think of some of the attacks, the Sri Lankan cricket team, the hotels, certainly the government offices, the things that we've seen in Pakistan and Afghanistan right there in that one border area. So if he in fact was knocked out, that means somebody takes the place of the snake, right? So they cut off the head of the snake, somebody else jumps into the game. So there's probably going to be more violence that bubbles up there. But he got money, or any of the people, the soldiers for Mossad, certainly the Taliban, and that's how they do it. They get money from extortion, kidnapping, shutting down anything that they can shut down of consequence, certainly to the Pakistani people. And in Afghanistan, where the villages are a little bit different, there are similar strategies if there is a person of importance that they're able to nail. But I told you the statistic, 90% of the people don't read or write. They just don't want to be killed. They want to get along. They're just trying to figure this out, right? So this election I would think would be important to the people, but I'm more concerned about what happens to us, what happens to America. What is the end game here? Is there an end game? I mean, we hear what McChrystal will say in a couple of weeks. We just heard what a former general had to say about it. And I'll tell you, it scares me to death, because I hate to see so many people making so many sacrifices, and ultimately for what at the end? And opium is the name of the game there. You think of the profit on the opium. How many people can the Taliban enlist, and how long can they continue to keep things going, and how can the Afghanistan people afford to ramp up their police departments around the country, and of course their national army as well? 800-259-3791. More of that on the flip side here on ATN.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times there are these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button, and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves, Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
What's the end game? The timetable to wrap up Afghanistan? How many more people will be deployed to Afghanistan again and again and again? America, your thoughts on this war where nobody's been able to really get a stronghold in that territory, and you think of the drugs. It's all about the drugs there and hitting the drug cartels, for lack of a better word, and the Taliban. And I have more on that, and I'll tell you about it in a second. Kate, hanging with you here on ATN. The number to jingle, of course, 800-259-5791. Jerry's listening to us in St. Louis. Hello.
Hi, Kate. On the Afghanistan fight now, under Islamic law, a free secular government, it's not an option. The only thing that they rule with is oppression. That's the way Islam works. They're a political, religious type of religion, if you want to call it that. But it's only through Islamic law, and that's oppression.
Right.
So why is our why are our soldiers fighting in that part of the world when we know there will be no freedom there? And I thought we had American soldiers fighting for freedom, but it's turning out to be something quite different. But in those countries.
Right. I think what it is, let me stop you for a second. What it is the idea is stamp out the Taliban. If we stamp out the Taliban, then we make a strike toward terror and we can protect the West, protect other people in that area, and we can help Afghanistan get that so-called freedom, like you said.
Yeah.
But that they don't really have because of the system.
They don't have it, and it's a kind of a dream world where you think you're going to stamp out one extreme Islamic group over another. It's just all in a dream.
Right.
I think in place of those poppy fields, which is probably one good reason why a bunch of countries, the West is over there, I don't know for sure, but couldn't they put manufacturing plants to be built there so that the Afghani people can make a decent salary and live in a kind of a more peaceful atmosphere? I don't think they're ever going to be able to be free. But we can.
I don't think they could be free for a very long time, and I don't see plants bubbling up there because, again, here's what you have. You have to think of what's in the region. Tons of opium fields. So that's your first problem. You brought that up.
No, I'm talking about manufacturing plants. Like, we send a lot of our corporations, I know we complain
right.
about it, but that's the way it is. We send clothing
to India.
Made and towels and all kinds of things to, you know, Bangladesh and all Pakistan and everywhere. So why couldn't Afghanistan just adopt some kind of a government that would be more like Pakistan? Because Pakistan does have a good, strong army. They might be able to eradicate the Taliban. But Afghanistan doesn't have a good, strong army, and they'll never be able to eradicate the Taliban. And we'll be there for years, and it's not going to – the Taliban, they just scatter and go somewhere else and regroup. But,
right.
Yeah, why can't they put manufacturing plants and just take the whole – emphasis off of this poppy field, just carpet bomb them, get them out of the way, and let the people.
Hey, what a great idea, Jerry.
Okay,
we're gonna let you fly.
Okay.
Well, can't we just bomb? Can't we just burn the poppy fields? But here's the thing: what you have to do first is you have to get the drug traffickers right. So this came out in the Times the other day. The Pentagon has a target list of drug traffickers that are supposed to be captured or killed or whatever, and that's what they're aiming to do because they've got to disrupt the flow of the drug money, because the drug money is what is financing the Taliban besides the kidnappings of filthy rich people, like I already told you about, any of the extortion games that they can play with robberies, etc. But the real bucks certainly is in the drugs, and the drugs pop up the amount of people that they're able to enlist into the cause, etc., train. So that's how the system is set up. Now, here's what the problem is, among the problems, and, you know, Jerry brought it up, wouldn't it be easy? We just bomb the poppy fields, set up some help for the people there, some things that they could do, but it's not our job to put in manufacturing plants. And the problem is that who in the United States is going to want to set up any kind of industry in Afghanistan right now? And the answer to that is no, you're not going to have that happen. It's a different thing when we talk about even India, much different, obviously, or China, than when you're talking about going into Afghanistan, of course, where it's, I've mentioned, it just stretches of desert that you're speaking about. And the conditions crazy, the poverty is rampant, the people don't read or write, so really, really tough. There's so much that has to be done there. But it's going to cost the United States a lot of money. I'm more concerned about the loss of human life and the troops and what are they there for and what are they going to accomplish. The United States has spent, you know, what did I say, over $220 billion since the invasion in 2001, billions with aid and development projects and all that other stuff. I mean, how much of the aid money was worth it? Supposedly a lot of that was wasted. So now you're talking about the House Appropriations Committee, right? The people that serve on that committee, they've even said they're worried about the prospect of an open-ended commitment to bringing this stability to a country. How do you bring stability to a country that's had decades of just pushing back any kind of military intervention and any attempts to actually influence what's happening in there? Politics internally. Like I said, the United States was careful to say, okay, the elections are coming up on the 20th. We just want to make sure it's smooth. We have no interest in what's happening in the politics. They're taking a different tact, obviously, from Iraq when you think of what happened there. And remember, diplomatically, we helped set up that government. In the case of Afghanistan, this is not what's being said. They're holding elections, and we just want the elections to go smooth and not have any problems with it. So how is the Senate Armed Services Committee, I mean, how are they going to react to new requests for more troops? And we're talking about troops, and we're talking about money. And we know that the NATO allies are only going to hang around for a few years, and then they're going to pull out. So I think in a way, not in a way, I think absolutely, Lindsey Graham is right in one sense. If we're doing this stuff And there is, this is so open-ended again and so scary that we're going down the same path, but it's even worse than Iraq because they don't have a strong army, they don't have a strong police force, and they don't have very much money compared to what Iraq had and the potential they had with the oil and what they were making off of oil. It's completely different. So if we're not all about almost shock and awe, blow them away, get the troops there all at once and shut down the violence, I don't see how the end game ends anytime soon within a decade. A decade is way too long. We know that the violence is way up. Last month, 74 troops were killed, 43 Americans. And when you talk about, I said this already, what the Taliban does, the tactics that they use, this is a different kind of warfare. We know this, similar to some of the things that were seen in Iraq, but yet Iraq is still a completely different country. I can tell you, I expect it's going to be sobering news that we're going to hear about how difficult it is to fight the Taliban and how tough this has been. That's what I think we're going to hear from General McChrystal. And I think that one of the things that's absolutely going to be pushed is that we don't have enough forces. That's fine. If we have to have more Afghanistan folks, NATO, U.S., whatever, we got to have them, because how are we going to be able to learn from our last situation in Iraq and ramp it up in a different level? One of the things that most of the people who were on the Sunday shows when Afghanistan was brought up, what they had to say was that they, you know, we're not really at a crisis level, and we're not worried about the Taliban overthrowing the government, so that's a good thing. So the election should be okay, and then we'll figure out ways to get more troops in the position that they need to be. But I don't know. To me, it just reeks of what did we learn from Iraq? What's going to be different with Afghanistan? How are you going to be able to ramp up, especially the police and the army? Because we cannot indefinitely, the United States, I don't think, can indefinitely afford to stay in Afghanistan. And we know from our own troops, what we're going to have the same problem again, even though so many families have made incredible sacrifices. And thank you so much for all of your efforts, anybody who served. But when you're talking about people that go again and again and again, I mean, it's just crazy difficult, and especially with the kind of war that we're fighting here. So I guess the one good thing is the U.S., from a Taliban leadership point of view, the U.S. and Pakistan are pretty certain that this Taliban leader, who was absolutely the guy who pulled a lot of the strings, Mossad, is probably dead. They're just trying in the last 4 or 5 days, trying to prove that he is, because you're having lots of struggles, obviously, since he's got deputies and other people, Mossad does, that are going to try to assume the position. But he pretty much is likely the guy who was offed last Wednesday on a drone strike by the CIA when he was visiting family in Pakistan, in that border that we always talk about, that border of Afghan border, where it's the tribal area. It's a lawless tribal area. That's the best way to describe it. So they're pretty much 90% that they nailed this guy, which is good, because he was the worst of the worst. He was the one, he was a big deal. He was the one who was known for training suicide bombers, and he was the one who came up with the kidnapping ideas and who to go after and what territory to go after. So it's a good thing. But ultimately, it's just one little tiny grain, one little tiny positive movement in this horrible war. Hank?
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum, you've tried the patch, you've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Better than I knew myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking.
Hanging with you, coast to coast and everywhere in between. On this show, you know how we roll. We have ADD. All of us have ADD, right? So we've talked about Afghanistan, also that horrible crash over the Hudson and the airspace, and why isn't regulated in the first place, or isn't there some semblance of order when helicopters and planes are up there at the same time? So naturally, finally, something tragic happens, and two families are ripped apart as a result of that. Sad to say, some visiting from Italy. But the mayor doesn't want to see too much regulation because that would affect all the choppers that go up, and it means big bucks. There is a city council person in New York who thinks they should just completely ban helicopters. Why have them if it's that dangerous? So we move from those conversations to sports shorts. And in sports shorts, it's interesting. He was batting 171, 6 for 35, had two long balls homers and six RBI since a July 30th report came out that said David Ortiz was on the list for steroid use. Now, Sunday night, the Yankees and the Bo Sox, they wrapped up their series. The crowds were screaming steroids at a fevered pitch, I heard. He wasn't in the lineup. David Ortiz wasn't in the lineup, but he did pinch hit in the ninth inning and walked. New York ended up winning that game. It was a four-game sweep for them, 5-2. And he's been bombarded by emails and letters either of support or people attacking him. So David Ortiz felt like he needed to discuss this on Saturday at a news conference. And he says, look, I'm innocent. I did not knowingly do any of this stuff. But here he is in his own words.
I find out last Thursday that I was on a list. And I right away I put myself in contact with the union to get more information about this list. They confirmed that. Yeah, and the newspaper came out that I was on a list. And we were trying to, I was trying to get more information why I'm on the list, and I don't know why. Nobody can tell me why I'm on the list. You know, I consider myself one of the guys that I definitely was a little bit careless. Back in those days when I was buying supplements and vitamins over the counter, legal supplements, legal vitamins over the counter, but I never buy steroids or use steroids.
All right, so here's the thing. There was a list of 104 players that were said to have tested positive, okay? And a lot of people think that the list should not have come out, and that's the problem. Hank Aaron, Hall of Famer Hank Aaron, last week thought the entire list should be released, and I agree. Just release the whole bloody list, and let's just get it over with, and then we can figure out who did what, and they can have news conferences, whatever they want to have. But it has to be frustrating because there's this, it's like a blacklist hanging around, and who are the names on there, or who are the suspected names? And, of course, the Players Union, the Commissioner's Office in Major League Baseball is upset about the names becoming public. The list is under court seal, and the case is before the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. It might end up being decided by the Supreme Court. And Major League Baseball says, at most, 96 urine samples were tested positive in the 2003 survey. That's what we're talking about. And the union is disputing 13 of those. And you heard what Big Pappy said. He got things over the counter, that he did not get steroids. And it's interesting because Bob DePue, who is baseball's president and COO, said, I'm not in a position to believe or disbelieve. I just accept what he says. And having that Saturday, you know, news conference. And Jim Leyland, who is the Detroit Tigers manager, also backed Ortiz and said, you know, I don't care what anyone thinks. If he says he didn't knowingly take anything, I believe him. But the problem is now it's gotten so negative that how do you know if he's, I mean, he doesn't, he said, I didn't knowingly do this. I took things over the counter. I mean, release the other names. I think it's only fair if he's going to be outed on this list and accused and he says, I didn't do this, and I don't want to be lumped into this category, then release all the names and let everybody set the record straight. What do you think, Matt? You're a baseball fan like I am. Don't you think they should just release the list and get it over with?
Yeah, definitely. Just get it over with. And you can. What will happen is if you release everyone's name, then all these guys don't have so much attention on them. Like if Ortiz's name is out with, you know, 100 other people, yeah, there's going to be heat on him and everything, but it's not like it is when they, you know, it's, first it was what Rodriguez's name came out, then Manny's, now it's Ortiz, and it's like every month there's another big name, and if everyone was just released at the same time, it would be a big hit, but it wouldn't last as long. It wouldn't be so focused on one player.
Yeah, I think so, too. Instead of just a few little leaks here and there and publicity and talking about their numbers and how they hit and what happened, instead, there wouldn't be that, you wouldn't have that guessing game anymore. It would be, okay, here's the whole list, and then you could go through the list, and people could have whatever they want to have, a news conference or a statement if they didn't do it. Because you got to remember, I mean, I guarantee some of those guys are innocent. There's some that took things that they didn't realize. I mean, steroids are steroids. If you're being injected with them, if you have a trainer helping you with them, it's pretty obvious. But there are those gray areas. I'm not trying to give anyone excuses because I think there were a lot of guys that were juiced. But I guarantee there are some that weren't.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of funny that the New York fans there were chanting steroids to Ortiz when they had two former players so far, well, one former in Giambi and a current guy in Rodriguez who both had taken steroids too and admitted to it pretty much.
Yeah, and Andy Pettit too as well,
oh,
one of their
right.
pitchers.
Forgot about him too. And right. And Clemens as well, so.
Exactly. So, you know, if I were him, I would just dismiss that. Because anyway, with the rivalries in sports, the Boston Red Sox and, of course, the Yankees, it's so ugly and bitter. I've been to both places, Fenway and to Yankee Stadium, and I've seen how that unfolds between, or in the crowd, rather. And it's, trust me, it's nasty stuff. So it's not a surprise that they would try to pick on him. But who's calling the kettle black? I mean, it really is the truth. Also in sports shorts, how about Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods picks up his 70th win. Do you believe it? On the PGA Tour, 70th win. I mean, like we said, we were talking about last week when he had yet another win on the tour. How many wins does he get when it's all said and done? I said at least 100. I'd be stunned if it wasn't 100. Maybe it will be 150 at this rate. But he is just beyond. Once again, he cashes in. He is just beyond anything that you can imagine as far as sports goes. Just a winner all the way. So he rallied. He won at the Firestone. He's just racking up the trophies. I wonder what he does with all those trophies. I mean, at some point, the trophy case must just look ridiculous in his home, from the big ones to the little ones. So I think when he's lurking, he has a chance to make history. Speaking of making history, six guys did that, including you had Bruce Smith, 200 sack man for the Bills, Hall of Fame on Saturday. Here's a clip of what he said.
As vividly as yesterday, I can remember arriving in Buffalo with Andre Reed for my first minicamp in 1985. At the first practice in the middle of May, we noticed dark clouds off at a distance. And within minutes, it began to rain, hail, and snow. After 30 minutes of downpour, the sun began to shine. And I thought, what in the hell have I got myself into? I'd never seen weather so extreme before in the month of May. And yet the irony of it was, it actually mirrored the gamut of emotions that I was experiencing at that time. As a young man of 21, I felt the fear and trepidation of embarking upon new territory. I also felt the weight and expectation that comes along with being the number one draft pick. And yet at the same time, I was thrilled and excited about the prospects of what my future in the NFL might hold. And now I have come full circle. By the grace of God, I stand before you today, humble and honored, because this induction into the Hall of Fame marks my passage into pro football's immortality.
All right, congratulations to Bruce Smith. Also, Ralph Woodson, Rod Woodson, Derek Thomas, and of course, sadly, Derek Thomas is no longer with us. Tragedy struck his life a couple of years ago, obviously, and took him from the planet. Oh, that was an awful story. Randall McDaniel, Bob Hayes, also inducted into the Hall of Fame. By the way, there was a Hall of Fame game Sunday Night Football. Woohoo! It's back. 21-18. Tennessee opens the preseason with a win over the Bills. Oh, it's going to be a great, great NFL season. I can just feel it. And we have nailed the score on Thursdays here on ATN.
Hey, hang on, you guys. I'll be right back.